There are places in this world where some of us would not dare to go. It is simply counterintuitive to move toward areas of danger where things like war and disease are on the loose. But that is the definition of the job for the people of Doctors Without Borders, often referred to as MSF for its French name, Médecins Sans Frontières. MSF works all over the world and often in some hairy situations, helping people who might not get help otherwise. We get to visit now with someone who's taken many trips to many countries for her work with Doctors Without Borders. Karen Stewart is a licensed clinical social worker with MSF and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Karen, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So MSF is very famous around the world. Give an overview of the mission, if you would.
You know what? They're a nonprofit, member-based, so we provide medical assistance to people affected by conflict, disaster, epidemic, even exclusion from healthcare.
Exclusion from healthcare as in denied the ability to see doctors, that sort of thing?
Exactly, yes.
Wow. So where does MSF work and with how many people?
You know, right now we're in over 70 countries worldwide, and we have, on the ground, we have about 43,000 staff. But you have to remember that 90% of those staff are locally hired, so only 10% are actual international workers going in. And we have about 450 projects ongoing at this point.
From what you're saying, then it sounds like the goal is to not have so many people move from country to country, but to make this more of a local thing.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about it, the people who are there, right, they know the language, they know the culture, they know the community, whatever's happening for them, if it's an HIV epidemic or it's violence or it's Ebola, they are living it, so they know. So we definitely want them to lead our assistance.
But even so, over the course of a year, it sounds like a fair number of MSF people do, in fact, travel from place to place, and you're among them.
Absolutely, yes.
So it is Doctors Without Borders, but you're not a doctor. You're a licensed clinical social worker. What do you do in the field?
Well, so I come in as a mental health professional, and my job generally is to lead a counseling team. So I'll have a team of locally hired counselors, whether they're lay counselors, so kind of no education or formal experience in mental health or counseling, or all the way up to I might have a team of actual master's-level psychologists. And so I'm kind of behind the scenes. I'm offering professional guidance, clinical supervision, and managing that team in the field.
So it sounds like your contact with clients is somewhat limited. You're basically having more contact with the people who are going to have contact with the clients.
Correct, yes. If there's difficult cases, perhaps more psychiatric cases or something that the counselor struggles with, then absolutely, I'm in session and available. But generally, yes, the counseling sessions would be run by the locally hired counselors.
Just to make sure we're clear on when you mean when you say psychiatric cases, we're talking about involving medication?
Correct, yeah. Or more just those people who are having severe and persistent mental illness, then that's something that usually is beyond the scope of our local counselors.
So you mentioned 450 projects, 70 countries, 43,000 staff. How big is the mental health operation of MSF versus the rest of the operation?
You know what? I can't give a specific answer on that. I do. MSF is working very hard to have mental health services available in every project. But at this point, that's not the case. And I don't know how many we're actually servicing with mental health services. We do a fair amount of, like, community health workers, and those people are often trained in what we call psychological first aid. So the ability to be with a person and maybe be able to support them and comfort them, even though we're not actually giving counseling at that time.
So somebody to basically handle triage, I mean, the equivalent of what would be bandages and splints for a physical wound.
Yes, I would say that's, mm-hmm. Correct.
So it seems like, looking at your own background here, alcohol and drug addiction work, but also trauma. Is trauma the largest part of what people are dealing with when there are mental health projects connected to MSF?
For the most part, yes. You know, we have a lot of grief and loss in when we're coming out of conflict situations. And then, yes, what they've witnessed, so traumatizing. But a whole other side of what the mental health people in MSF are doing is about, like, adherence to medications. So when you think about tuberculosis or HIV, and the regimen of medication that's required, then we have, yeah, counselors to help the person to understand taking their medications, you know, properly and why they're doing that and that kind of thing.
We're talking to Karen Stewart, who's a licensed clinical social worker with MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, or in English, Doctors Without Borders. She's making a bit of a tour of the region and will be talking in Bend tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the Riverhouse on the Deschutes Convention Center, then back to Medford on Thursday evening at the Medford Library for part of MSF's Voice from the Field program. Karen has spent a fair amount of time in the field. We'll get further into details in just a moment. Questions, comments for her, welcome on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So Karen, what appealed to you about working with MSF versus keeping a domestic practice or therapeutic operation?
You know, I think I actually speak to this in my talk. It really was, as a kid, I lived overseas. And so I really did see kind of a world beyond the United States. And I just was always interested in other cultures and learning about what's happening. So once I had gained my master's degree and had some experience in the United States with mental health, I thought, yeah, I do want to take it further.
So having had some exposure to other cultures certainly helped anoint you, as it were, for MSF work?
Absolutely.
So I noticed you've worked in Uzbekistan. Give us a bit of a travel itinerary here. Where are some of the other places you've been?
Yeah, I've worked mostly in Africa and Asia, quite honestly. So in Africa, I was in Nigeria and Zimbabwe and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Nigeria and Zimbabwe were both HIV/AIDS focused, and then the DRC was more of a sexual violence clinic, response clinic. Then in Asia, I've worked. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that the Democratic Republic of the Congo, that it automatically sort of sets up, because it's been such a conflict center for so long. There's a certain level of like, oh boy, what did you do there? And it was fairly heavy stuff from the sounds of it.
That is a very difficult. I actually was just supporting a mental health officer that had been there and was staying for 1 year, and so I went there as a support to this gentleman. As a more experienced person to help him kind of get the clinic up and going. But yeah, we were seeing anywhere probably around 20 women coming in each day who had been raped. It was a very intense clinic.
Indeed. So what kinds of things can you do to help set up a situation where people feel like they, A, can get help, B, will get help, see that it might have some lasting effects in a place where it sounds like it's still very unstable?
It is, yeah, it remains unstable. I think the biggest thing, yeah, when people come in is just that support that they feel. I mean, we have a lot of medical options when we've seen sexual violence, but the counseling, the idea that they're not alone, stigma is so huge for them to be able to come in and talk with other women who have experienced this and to know that, okay, the feelings I'm having are normal. Of course I'm feeling stressed. Of course I'm feeling, you know, depressed or whatever's going on for them. So it can be very powerful just to have that connection.
Well, the stigma is just part of it. I imagine that you run into cultural barriers in a few other places as well. I mean, places where people simply don't talk about the kinds of things that it would actually help them to talk about if they've been through trauma. Does that often end up being an obstacle to the work you do?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, mental health in general is misunderstood, right? People sometimes jump and they think of psychosis or going crazy, right? And so it really is helping them to understand, no, mental health is about your overall sense of well-being. It doesn't have to mean that you're, you know, extreme. It just means you need a little bit of support.
Given the fact that you get the transfer between Colorado, that's where you normally live, right, Colorado?
Actually, yes, I have lived there for a long time, but I'm relocating to California.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Yeah.
For moving closer to an ocean. But the question was aimed at the differences that you see in our own culture. I mean, we have a fair number of segments that deal with mental health and mental illness here on the exchange and are getting the impression from those chats anyway that things are slowly turning in a new way, that people are beginning to equate mental health more like physical health, that it's not your fault if you... You know, I don't want to use any of the expressions that we use to indicate somebody having a problem with mental illness, but the fact is it seems like over time we are using those terms less.
I would agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Does it seem like it is, but the rest of the world still lagging a bit behind from your experience?
I would say yes. And it really, honestly, it depends on the context, the project, the country. where that is. You know, like if you look at Kashmir, our project there is about mental health and the ongoing conflict for decades. And those are actually master's level psychologists. And the idea of mental health is much more integrated. Yeah, people have a better understanding of what's being offered and kind of what mental health services could do for them.
In those kinds of situations in Kashmir, where it's been going on for generations, it's a divided place that India and Pakistan fight over. India recently clamped down further, which I'm sure is going to complicate everybody's lives just that much more. But when there's no particular hope that the political situation will change anytime soon, what can you do to assist people in those kinds of settings?
I mean, that's actually one of the biggest challenges, right? How can a person treat trauma when the person is still living in a situation that's traumatizing? But I think giving coping skills, helping with interventions, helping to know, to notice when things are coming up for them, whatever symptoms or kind of the reactions to the stress, and having ways to cope. I mean, it really, our bottom line is to try and build resilience so that they can bounce back, irregardless of where they are. Certainly, our big hope is that they things would get better and they're not living under those circumstances, but in many cases, they are. But we can still be helpful.
Karen Stewart is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a licensed clinical social worker working in the mental health arm of MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders. You can join our conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Karen speaks tomorrow night in Bend and on Thursday night in Medford at the library starting at 6:30. Here's a call from Anne in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. So, my question is, why are you going to other places in the world to help out with mental health care when mental health care in the United States is so abysmal? I'll give you an example. I have a friend whose grown daughter is mentally ill, has been hospitalized after suicide attempts at least 12 times. She needs residential care, and every time this man tries to find residential care for her, he has told that there is no room in the system for his daughter. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Appreciate that. So, nail right on the head there about why you're going overseas when there are needs here, Karen.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, Anne. I have to say that working for MSF abroad, I see the impact I can make. I see the difference I can make. I've worked in the United States for many years in the systems. I've worked in psychiatric emergency care, so responding to emergency rooms like suicide attempts, overdoses, and our system is certainly has many problems, depending on what state, you know, maybe better or less, but it's still problematic. And that's very difficult to work within. To know that, yes, you have someone who needs hospitalization, but you're being told there are no beds for this person. So I definitely hear her frustration. For me, I mean, I am back in the U.S. I am back working within our systems and doing my best to advocate for people who are dealing with mental health issues. So I wouldn't say, yeah, I don't know that it's doing one thing and not the other. For me, they both bring challenges, and they both bring the ability for me to use the skills that I have.
When you think about one thing or one change in attitude that would help the work of mental health professionals here and elsewhere in the world, is there one thing that rises to the top of the list?
Well, I would have to say othering, I mean, which we're having that issue across the board on many levels. But with mental health, what I've seen is people tend to keep it over there. Oh, yeah, mental health issues is over there. And it's like, no, really, there are many of us who struggle with levels of stress, with levels of trauma. And some of us are able to cope and some of us aren't. And you never know. You know, tomorrow something could happen and that's going to be the time when, you know what, I can no longer cope. So I guess just an acceptance of mental health issues affect all of us, and we need to just embrace that and try and lessen the stigma, lessen the discrimination, and let people really openly speak to it.
Do the two parts of your working life here and overseas complement one another? Do you pick up things from each end that is of use to you in the other place?
I think I have to say, when I work abroad in internationally with MSF, I use almost every one of my skills that I have, not just my clinical skills, but my communication, my problem solving, my organizational, all of it. Whereas here in the United States, it feels like I don't quite use 100% for the jobs that I might do. But I think, if anything, working internationally has shown me that we can do so much with very little intervention. You know, here in the United States, we tend to go big. Okay, it's PTSD, and we have to do this, and we have to do this technique, and, you know, the person has to come and see us for 2 years. And so I have seen kind of that other side of it, where actually just two sessions and being present with that person and showing them that they're not alone has tremendous impact.
The sense of us going big, do we make too much of a production out of it? I mean, are there things that we should be doing just in terms of day-to-day mental hygiene that might head off some of the larger mental health issues that get expressed in our culture?
I think connection, right? We're so disconnected with each other. And just stopping in the street and just saying, hey, you know, you've probably seen something posted on social media where, you know, just a smile was enough to really change a person's day. And mm-hmm. I really believe that. I think we can just be more present and recognize each other.
Karen Stewart, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a licensed clinical social worker who spends time overseas with MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, speaking tomorrow night in Bend and on Thursday night at the library in Medford at 6:30. What is the rhythm of the job like? How often are you deployed, and for how long, and how often do you get back home?
Well, actually, what I did, I was pretty much full-time for many years. And then in 2012, I returned to the United States, and since then, I've only done short. So prior, I was doing one-year assignments, and now since then, I've only done like maybe 6 weeks or 5 weeks, kind of a gap fill or supporting someone else. So my last time out was 2015 in Uzbekistan for a tuberculosis project. So now I'm balancing. I teach at the University of Denver, and I balance kind of what I can do with MSF from the United States, or perhaps shorts, and then I've let go of those longer assignments.
When you were doing them, I mean, how often did it get? I guess the question is, did you spend less time getting acclimated as time went on because you just got good at getting acclimated? Because, you know, you have to learn language, customs, culture, things like that, enough to be able to navigate.
When I would go for a year, and then mm-hmm. when I would come back home, I would spend maybe 1 to 2, even 3 months here in the United States. And the first month was really just about relaxing and sleeping and catching up. And then the next month, really connecting with friends and family. And then as it got closer to go to my next assignment, then I would be studying the country and the culture and really getting ready to go.
So, Karen, the visits you're making around the West Coast, are you recruiting, in essence, for MSF?
This is actually not a recruitment. We are certainly welcome to speak about that and happy to talk with anyone about that, but it's not a recruiting session. This is more of a give back. It's more of a thank you to our supporters and to kind of help them to see on a personal level what it means to be working in the field.
Speaking of which, I mean, we hear in the news from time to time about places that MSF has had to vacate because of the high danger there. Have you had any experience like that in your own career?
You know, I have not. I have not been evacuated. I was active in Sri Lanka during the height of the war in 2009, but that was as it was ending, and we were able to stay put.
So the name of MSF is well known, and so is the danger. I mean, has anybody asked about recruiting on your trip talking around the West Coast?
Yes, almost every stop we have a couple questions around recruitment, mostly around how long is that first assignment, you know, because people, I think it's difficult, right, to make that commitment of 9 to 12 months. So I think people are looking, can I go maybe for a month? Can I go for 6 weeks? And so that's a lot of where the questions come.
And what areas of expertise are needed the most at MSF?
Well, at this time, I don't know what our top needs are, but I mean, what's important to remember is that 45% of the people working in the field are non-medical. So it takes a lot to run MSF, right? We need logistics. We need administrators who can deal with payroll and human resource issues. So, yeah, we've got a big chunk of people who are kind of behind the scenes, if you will.
So it's has it been 15 years for you in MSF?
It has, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there any one place that sticks in your mind, either positive or negative, along your journeys?
I think always that first assignment is a very special, because I was there a very long time. So that would be Lagos, Nigeria, and I had very close connection with the locally hired staff. So that's one, and I think the second would be Papua New Guinea, just because it was such an interesting experience and such beautiful people there, very generous, very open and kind people.
Have you gone back and visited just as a visitor to go see some of the people in the places you once were sent to for work?
I have not. It's definitely been on my list, and I'm always thinking, okay, maybe they'll need, MSF will need a short here, and I can go and support someone and go back and see people.
Okay. So right now, though, the move is to talk to people about what you've been doing on the road. The series is called MSF On the Road, A Voice from the Field. That'll be in Bend at the River House on the Deschutes Convention Center tomorrow night at 6:30. And then back in Medford on Thursday, September 26th at 6:30 at the main Medford Library. Karen Stewart, licensed clinical social worker with MSF Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders. Thank you so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.